Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Been offered an opportunity. Don't know how genuine it is, but the person who's offered it to me kept going like, "Nah, serious." And I just don't know if I'm ready for this kind of opportunity
as,
in my life.
As a close friend of yours, Tim, and a great colleague, I am ready to hit you with the hard truth.
Okay. And I don't want you to take offense with a stance that I will take at a later point when I bring this up. It'll make sense.
Okay.
My PT today, Marcus, he is also the coach of a high school footy team, like of the seniors team.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, like I've always been on the like the coaching staff and on the board, but I've never been the coach.
Sure.
So his first game's tomorrow for Geelong High School. Best of luck, Marcus, and the seniors that are
exciting.
Playing there. He was like, yeah, I'm so excited. He was chatting to a couple of the guys and he was talking to me. He was like, oh, by the way, because I'm a huge footy head, played a lot of footy for a lot of my like juniors and as when I was an adult. And he was like, we talk about footy a lot. He was like, oh, you know, the year sevens need a coach at the Geelong High School.
Do it. Do it. No, Tim, look at me in the eyes.
Okay.
Do it.
Right.
Best thing you'll ever do.
Okay.
I used to be a netball coach.
Well, this is what I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Because when I was like, I don't know. I love footy and I understand like basic elements of coaching, I think, especially for juniors. But I was like, if Jess can coach netball, surely.
I was so in your corner.
I could coach footy.
Genuinely, I coached, were they year six or year seven?
You did say it was the best and
they
worst.
They were 13 years old.
Best and worst experience of your life.
Yeah, they just so mean to one another. For no reason. Like, they'd come to training and one of them would have said something during school.
Right.
And I'd be like, listen, the amount of times I'd have to say, whatever happens off the netball court, you don't bring it here.
Right, okay.
We're all nice to each other here. We're all a
but
team
you,
here.
You were a co-coach, weren't you?
Yes.
So there wasn't the buck didn't stop with you.
Yeah, it was a lot easier being a co-coach.
I'm worried that if it is just me, that the buck is gone.
Especially because like I only had like 12 girls. Like,
right. The whole footy team, there's at least 22 people.
That's a lot of 13-year-olds, I'm going to be honest with you, Tim. That might be a little overwhelming.
What I thought, because I know a lot of people, like I'm really excited about hopefully if my son Jack, now he's only 8 months
old.
Here
we go.
But I think a footy career is calling. I'm excited that hopefully one day I'll get a chance to be, whether it's like team manager, coach.
Cute.
I want to do that if that's what he's into.
See, get some notches on the resume. That's what they say.
I want you to give me two reasons why you think I could coach an under-13s footy team and two reasons why you don't think I could coach an under-13s footy team.
Right, shall we start with the good first? Let's go good, too bad, good again. The compliment sandwich.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Good reason. 13-year-olds are hilarious. You should absolutely do it.
Right.
You will have some amazing stories. They're just the worst. Okay. They're the best and the worst.
Okay, right.
Reason you shouldn't? Do you know anything about coaching?
What
wisdom could you impart on these children other than sitting on the bench?
I think you could attest to this. How dare you? I think you could attest to this that I'm very good at telling people what to do.
Yeah.
The time commitment is something that I keep thinking
of. That is a negative as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that one of the negatives you were going to bring up?
Bring it home strong.
I
mean, how bad can you do? They're just 13-year-olds. It's not that big a deal.
You
might actually get to see a premiership in your lifetime because you're definitely not going to see it with Essendon.
Unnecessary and uncalled for.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I know. That's fair enough. But it's not nice to say out loud.
You've never even won a premiership like with any of your football teams. So
well, I won,
it'd be nice to give him coach.
I won one with high school, but my brain goes, don't count it.
Nah, and doesn't count.
But maybe I need to tack on to the success of the youth.
Do it.
And relive that.
What is it? Like once a week?
I think it's a 10-game season.
Oh, Timmy.
But again, training.
Yeah.
I work late. I work hard.
Okay, I can attest to the fact that you definitely don't work
I know
hard.
I'd look good with a whistle.
That's we don't even work that late. We're out of here at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I know. Training's probably done. Okay. Oh, look, I'm thinking about it. You just never know. It might be my next career
path. Are you going to go by Coach Tim?
It'll be Mr. Coach Tim to you. All right. Anyway, if you could run it round to those cones.
Yeah.
And then bring them back.
Shut up, Mr. Coach Tim.
Yeah, fair enough. I hadn't considered that.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, there's a bit of a war going on at the moment.
We don't like wars.
Um,
big against it on the show.
It's royal war.
Oh, all right. Well,
thank you.
What's royally?
The monarchs.
Oh, the actual royal.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, fair enough.
They are having a bit of a jam war.
Like that's
the war of the preserves.
Oh, so it's not just like the king's not like, that's not my jam, Harry. William, you know what that isn't? My jam.
No, but it does involve the king, King Charles, and Meghan Markle, former monarch.
Yep.
She released this week the first looks at her new lifestyle collection products, American Riviera Orchard. And it included a strawberry jam.
Okay. So she's in the jam game.
She's in the jam game. She got a whole bunch of her, like, you know, celebrity pals to kind of come out and promote the jam. She sent everyone a bit of jam. Everyone's like, oh, this is the strawberry jam of my choice.
Right.
That I definitely haven't been sent and asked to promote.
Have you recently seceded from the royal family? So enjoy my jam.
Well, it's seen that an influx of purchases made it on the king's website. I didn't even know the king.
Oh, kingcharles.royal.king.
I mean, he managed to lock that one in early in the 90s. No, the website that King Charles sells is from the Duchy of Cornwall estate. And from the early 90s, he's been selling his own preserves, marmalade, some strawberry jam, that sort of thing. It apparently the last few days since Meghan Markle released her jam.
Oh, through the roof.
They've sold out on the website for the first time ever. You cannot buy his jam at the moment.
They just won't let this Meghan Markle girl just leave her alone.
Well, this is what I was
just
thinking,
leave
right?
her alone.
Do you think?
Yes, anytime. Because, look, I probably shouldn't be saying this representing a media company, but there has had to have been over the last 10 years money from the royal family to slander Meghan Markle.
There's just
because
the
there's so
headlines.
Many things about this poor woman that I have no idea about why they're picking on her.
Do you
just because she doesn't want to be in the royal
this
family?
Is, my first thought was the royal family have pulled the jam from their website and said, like, it's sold out.
Right.
As a way to just...
Because if they only have one and someone buys it, sold
right?
out. Good marketing.
It's them saying, like, oh, Meghan, you can try and make jam, but ours is sold out. Do you know what I mean? Do you think they're that petty?
Yes. Having not really listened to what you just said.
Fair enough.
And hearing the word petty at the end with the royal family, I'm going
to
say
yes. I really wish you'd listen to me sometimes.
No, it's just like I lost you. You might as well have been speaking Spanish. It just completely went. I love the jam
part. You don't
care
about the jam wars?
I care about jam. I care about how much sugar's in jam. That is shocking to
I went through a jam phase during lockdowns where I made a lot of jam.
It turns out you need a lot of sugar to make a lot of jam.
Yeah. So yep.
In summary, leave Meghan alone.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
And one of the best shows for the entire family. It's back on our screens on Channel 9 at the moment. It all started on Sunday, I think the sixth season.
Yeah, it's honestly probably one of our most successful shows in the country.
Just keeps getting better. Always a new spin. It's Lego Masters Australia. This season, it's Australia versus the world. We spoke to Brickman earlier in the week. Joining us now is the other host of the show, Hamish Blake. Good afternoon, Hamish.
You've warmed up with Brickman, and now you get the big dog.
Yes. Brickman, he's very formal. He's always talking about bricks and numbers and hours and all these things. But the creativity we know from Lego Masters has to come from your brain.
How many of these challenges come from the mind of Hamish Blake?
Look, there is a pretty big team that works on the challenge. I cannot take credit for them all, or even the majority. But having said that, I will. I mean, I might as well. No one's going to fact check me. But it's a huge team. The great thing about Brickman is I could have an idea for a challenge and be like, oh, mate, great idea for a challenge. What about this? And then he's a great person to be able to go, no, see, that will... Well, either he'll go, that will break all the Lego, and I'll go, that's right. Or he'll go, I don't think Lego would love that. Because eventually, like, it does actually have to get signed off by headquarters in, Lego to go, hey, this is what we want to do with the Lego.
Well, it actually has to get signed off by the Lego company.
Yeah, they don't want you doing... I guess they don't want you doing weird stuff with Lego, which makes sense. Like, I understand that. There was only one time we... kind of nearly got a bit in trouble, which is one of the seasons we were blowing up the Lego, like exploding it. And I mean, this is just such a tiny thing, but they didn't like it being on fire.
Yeah. So weird.
Which is fine. I mean, they do put a lot of effort into making it a very enjoyable thing. They don't want to see a burner on the screen.
Yeah.
And we weren't trying to light it on fire. It just happened that a few.
Okay.
Days.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, just a bit crispy.
Yeah. Something out of the edit. All good.
Now, when we were speaking to Brickman, he was saying that one of the best things, one of his favourite things about the show, and especially with Australia versus the World, they want to take things to the next level, is that if there's a challenge, that he will do it beforehand, and if it takes 16 hours, it takes 16 hours. Jess and I have been arguing about how many of those hours you'd be around for in the... in the pre-season kind of meetings. Are you there for all those, or are you just there for the first hour, last hour? You're like, looks great, Ryan. All right.
Oh, in the testing?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're not going to. I mean, that's one of the ones where you learn the art very quickly of going, oh, mate, you don't want me hanging around for this, do you? Yeah. I'm just going to get in the way. I think I'll just get in the way here. And then, yeah, so I'm not, I'm not around for the testing. No, Hay doesn't need to be there for that. Keep him fresh. Keep Hay fresh for game day, I say.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you're surprised on the day.
Fair enough.
That's exactly right. That's the reason. I'd happily go in. I just want to be surprised.
Hamish, do you find yourself building Legos at home? Like, have you got something you're working on? Because I know Tim's always got a Lego on the go, but is it kind of become a bit like work for you, or do you still enjoy to build, have a build with the kids at home?
No, I build Lego all the time because I don't really get to build anything on the show. Like, they're always yelling at me, like, don't touch the Lego. Like, no, don't let Hamish near it. So I'm actually mocked, if anything, at work. So I come home desperate to be able to build in peace. I actually do have something on the go. This was a little Christmas present, sorry, from Haim to Haim. The Ultimate Collector. The X-Wing, Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah,
big one.
It's pretty rad. And it's not universally loved in the house because it's being built at one end of the kitchen table. And my wife and Zoe goes, and where's this going, like, once it's finished? Like, I don't know. I mean, it looks good here, doesn't it? Like, a bit of a conversation piece. Everyone that walks in seems to want to talk about it. She's like, no, absolutely not. So I wonder what going to happen there.
What we love,
exciting one we've got coming up.
What we love about Australia taking on the world is, from what we've seen, is that obviously it's Australia. There's people from Denmark, the US, and it's all everyone coming together to make the best of the best. I know from, like, whether it's your old radio show or your other TV shows, you're very quick to jump allegiances as soon as you see kind of a team succeeding. Which team, other than Australia, did you go, you know what, immediately,
Germany.
Love you guys.
Germany. right on board with the Germans from the get-go. And look, we have a responsibility here as guests, as hosts of this show to welcome our guests. And we have already stacked the deck by having half the teams be Australian and then only one team from any other country. So it already looks a bit sus how clearly we've tried to rig this to make Australia win. So I have to show a little bit of favouritism the other way. And, yes, the German team make me laugh a lot, Felix and Annalena, so got no qualms in also throwing a bit of support behind them.
Lego Masters, Australia versus the World. It's on Channel 9 Sunday, 7 o'clock. I don't know if we're actually allowed to say that. Hamish Blake.
Seven a brick, of course.
There we go. Hamish Blake, thank you so much for swinging by the show.
Thanks, guys. Tim and Jess, the
podcast. I have more of something than I've ever had before, and it's bizarre. It is definitely something that it's just a part-time thing until we get rid of one of them. But for the first time ever in my household, we have more than two cars.
Oh.
We have three cars.
All right. Someone's got a car dealership out the front of their house.
It is. Honestly, it's way more stress than I have ever wanted.
Are you using all three?
No. So one of them, so essentially I've got another car. I bought a used car. I talked about it a few weeks ago. And now we're trying to sell, getting it ready to sell my old ute.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, look.
Nothing wrong with the ute. No, you just wanted an upgrade.
Just time for that chapter of the ute part of my life is over. But like in the process while we're getting it serviced and getting it cleaned and doing all these things, because I want it to look good and be like good for whoever buys it after us, because it's treated us well, so I want it to treat someone else well. Having three cars is bizarre. So when I dropped it off to get it serviced, normally that's like a whole thing because you go, oh, now we've got one car. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I just got the other car. I'll just use the other car.
Are you considering keeping all three cars?
God, no. Financially, it would ruin me.
That was the quickest I've ever heard you answer.
I just thought about how much it would cost to keep all three. But I know that this is not uncommon. Now, because I live in Armstrong Creek, we ain't got space out the wazoo to just be picking up cars. I have this shame that I'm like, oh, we're that three-car house.
Right.
Oh, my God. We're taking a spot up not only in the garage but the driveway and as well out the front of the house.
You know our friend John from SA.
Yes. How many cars has John had?
I think he's got about eight now. Whoa. He had to build a second shed. I know that much.
That's a lot of cars.
He's got a lot of cars.
What I wanted to do, because I feel like having three is crazy. 52232955. How many cars you got? Because I know that a lot of people love cars and like people, their hobbies, people work on them. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them aren't even running, but that's not me.
I can barely keep up with my one car.
I'm not looking at like, oh yeah, I'll hold on to this. I'll get a club permit for my car so I can drive around, you know, up and down the Great Ocean Road in my club permit. Nah, sell it, buy, go.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of people, like saying, build sheds because they're like, I've got so many cars. And would you count, like say if you have young kids. So you got three young kids that are all above the age of 18, but they all still live at home. How you could have five cars?
100%. When I was still living at home, because I was the first of my family to move out, my sister wasn't quite yet driving, but she'd bought a car to learn in.
Yeah.
So we had five cars out the front of our
house. That's a lot of cars.
Yeah. It was a lot of cars.
Let's use five as the starting point, because I think three to me feels like a lot, but I know that it's just an extra car for two people. 52232955. How many cars you got?
Steve from Ocean Grove, you used to have how many?
Seven.
Ooh, Steve.
Seven. Okay. I say
seven,
used
seven
to because
to,
you've
up got... a year ago I had the seven and I've sold four in the last year and a bit, and I'm just gonna keep the last three.
Did you mean to buy seven? What happened? Were they collecting cars? Were they club permit cars? You see lots down at the waterfront.
Well, it's kind of both. I mean, the first one I did about 8 years ago was a Holden panel van, which I did up.
Lovely.
Oh, very nice.
Then a Holden one-tonner WB came up the station and stuff. Then the Kingswood station wagon came up and I fixed that up. Then it went to the Statesman DeVille. Then two Cortinas and a Commodore.
Steve, how do you feel like on just like, you know, vibes and good energy fixing up a Hilux, getting it ready to sell?
Mate, you get into an old classic Holden and then you'll know what getting more time.
Yeah. All right, so down to three.
I didn't want to sell them, but registration is about $4,500 a year. Insurance isn't bad through Shannon's, it's only like 1,300 for all the cars, so that was good. But and I drive
Steve,
every week.
Like you don't like money burning a hole in your pocket,
no,
Steve.
That's wild.
That was it. You know, I'd get another registration. I'd do 3 months, and another one for two of them. And then there's another two, and the older car's got to run the 98 octane, which is about 20 a litre.
Steve, I'm getting more and more anxious at every word you say.
I forgot about petrol as
well, Tim. Yeah, petrol. One of them's just empty. That's how you fix that problem, Jess. Catherine from St. Albans, it wasn't you, it was your mum and dad. They had lots of cars. How many was it?
23.
All right.
Catherine, did mum and dad live out on a farm? Like, where did they keep these cars?
No, in suburbia.
Oh, were they that house?
They bought the house because it had room for a 6-car garage and that blew out to a 21-car garage.
so like your mum and dad just got very good at getting them in there. Imagine you want the one in the back right corner and you go, oh, we've got to move 20 cars to get this back one.
Yeah, sort of something like that, but they just kept adding on to the shed.
What? How? I'm so blown away. How do we get to 23 cars? Like, at what point did they go, all right, let's collect them all?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it just something that's always happened?
Yeah. pretty much.
Wow. All right.
Catherine, I can hear in your voice that this was just it was a lot to deal with as a young one. So 23, look, no one's going to beat that. So no. We were playing a game and you have won. Congratulations, Catherine.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.